great example is when a person moves into a new city for the first time. Aren't you excited? The new sights, the sounds, the energy, the restaurants, the parks, the people. Everything seems wonderful. Everything seems new. But is that city new? That city has existed since whenever. You know, it might be around for 200 years or 100 years. But it seems new to you. Then you stay there for a few days, you get more comfortable, you get into your routine, and you lose that sense of awe and that sense of fascination. You lose your appreciation of the city, you lose your appreciation of the place. It's the same thing that happens in relationships. We're all excited about the person, we love the contact, we love the energy, we love the chemistry, and all of a sudden we fall into this game of, now what are you going to do for me? What have you done for me lately? Again, we lost the appreciation. Be excited about the little things. This is the secret to spiritual excitement. To wake up in the morning and open up your eyes and say, thank God I could wake up. Thank heaven that I'm healthy. I can go to work. When we're excited about the little things, that excitement will create real excitement in our lives on a physical level. When we care about being excited about all the little mundane, boring things that we have to do, that creates a cosmic opening to bring the energy of excitement into our lives in a spiritual way on a regular basis, the excitement of miracles. Let's not be fooled. We understand that getting excited about the mundane physical things is not an easy thing to do because we're constantly fighting the routine. We're constantly fighting limitation. We have to learn how to listen to our environment, to listen to the people around us, listen to the energy of the light that's always around us and trying to talk to us and whisper in our ear and tell us how wonderful things are. But sometimes things are not so wonderful in a person's life. Sometimes a person has a real form of chaos in their lives, and they have difficulty listening to it. The next step for that person would be to appreciate the things that they do have. And by appreciating the things that they do have, that'll create an opening to heal where there is currently lack. I mean, there are people in the world that do have lack in the world of health or finances or relationships. And what we often do is we just focus on that lack. So what do? If you're focusing on the lack, you know what it does? It draws more lack. It draws more chaos. When you focus on the appreciation for the things that do have fulfillment, you know what that does? It draws the energy of fulfillment precisely in the area where there is lack. Again, your robotic consciousness will tell you, focus on where you have lack. You've got no money in the bank. Your robotic logical mind will say, you have to drive yourself crazy about putting money in the bank so you can have food to eat and whatever. What will Kabbalah teach you? Be appreciative that you're healthy, if your health is good. Be appreciative that you have a relationship, if you have a spiritual, meaningful relationship. And by focusing on those energies and being prepared to earn that energy on a regular basis, the financial problem will take care of itself. That's a spiritual guarantee. We just have to get out of our own way. We focus on the lack stays. The second we redirect our focus to where fulfillment is, that's how the miracle can happen. Sometimes I watch my teacher, Rav Berg, listening to people when they speak to him. And every once in a while, I see him say something like, wow, really? And he means it with his full heart. It's not like he's saying it just to appease the individual, because at that moment, he is totally and fully involved in the light that the other person is revealing to him. There is no discrimination between this is good or that's not good. If that meant something to the individual, if there's light there, why not connect to it, to listen to how the environment is talking to us, whether it's people or things all around us? Very often when we listen to people, we're not really listening. We don't listen to the cosmos. When people talk to us, for instance, we already are preparing the answer in our mind. So when the person finishes talking, we've already got their answer ready. But if you're doing that, then how are you really listening? We're not listening. We're waiting for the other person to stop talking. That's what we're doing. Listening to each other in a spiritual way, to feel each other, to feel where the other person's lack is, and we're going to talk about that in a few moments in more detail, feeling the other person's lack in energy, that's going to help us be excited about the light that that person is trying to give us. And when we're excited about the light that that individual is trying to give us, it'll help prepare us to be more sensitive to the light that's all around us, because in reality, the universe is constantly trying to share its light with us, but we're too busy with our own little plans. We're too busy with our own little personal agendas, so we don't let that energy into our lives. Another thing that we find very frustrating are the lessons that we seem to need to learn over and over again every single day. Very often we have the type of a job or routine that presents the same scenario to us over and over again. And you ask the question, where's the new excitement? It takes work to keep up excitement. And it's up to us, Our job is to maintain that excitement. Don't rely on your spiritual teacher. Don't rely on your mother or father. Don't rely on your siblings or your spouses, lovers, friends. It's each and every one of us's job to maintain our excitement level in the energy of creation. The area of relationships is a great example. You find a new lover and you're all excited, like we mentioned before. But we know that everybody is really a combination of good attributes and reactive attributes, attributes that need to be corrected. Usually, when we start seeing the negative attributes in an individual, inside we want to drop them like a hot potato. On the outside, we try to maintain some semblance of politeness, but even that is lost very quickly. The real excitement in a relationship should be when you see both the good and the bad sides and you're excited anyway. That's unconditional excitement. That's the type of an excitement that'll bring miracles into the energy of your relationship. It's not about being excited about something conditional. She looks good. I'm excited about her. Or he did something for me. I'm excited about him. That's conditional excitement. It's temporary. It's like addiction. Unconditional excitement is being aware of how the light of the Creator is in that person, and that person wants to share that light with you, and you have an ability to connect to that light, and that light will help you achieve the fulfillment that you're really looking for. When you do see something in an individual that troubles you or that bothers you, instead of saying, oh, this person is not for me, instead say, you know, I can do something to help this person. Here's a wonderful opportunity for me to help that person bring light where they have lack, or help them see that where they think there is lack, there is truly light. See it as an opportunity. Don't see it as an excuse so you can walk away from the person, because the guarantee is you'll meet somebody else with precisely the same thing that needs to be corrected, because you can't run away from your correction process. This is another very powerful spiritual lesson. Your correction follows you around no matter how many relationships you go through. So in the area of relationships and in all areas of life, learning to be excited is the process of trying over and over. If we tried for half an hour and we didn't get excited, you know what that means? It means you didn't try enough. What does that mean, you didn't try enough? There's light in everything. If you don't reveal the light in something, that doesn't mean there's no light in it. It just means you didn't work hard enough to reveal it. So if you're not feeling the light in the relationship, don't blame the other person. It means you're not working hard enough. The only thing that you do have to be careful of, especially in the world of relationships, are individuals that are not excited for you, meaning you make spiritual growth, you make spiritual progress, and they don't share your excitement, or they actually try to drag you down. That is one thing that you need to be careful of. When we're excited about the mundane stops being mundane, and we actually can start drawing energy from routine tasks. The things that bring other people down will start acting as a support to raise our level of consciousness. This is the mark of a leader, by the way. A leader is an individual that doesn't give up when everybody else gives up. A leader is an individual that will continue doing the mundane routine things and inject excitement into those things when everybody else walks away, is tired, and doesn't want to be involved anymore. So we can see that maintaining this state of consciousness is hard work. Maintaining the energy of excitement is not easy work. You have to work for it. So we need to understand what working hard from a spiritual point really is. And we started talking before also about, in order for us to be able to get excited about the light of the Creator, we need to start learning how to feel that the light of the Creator is in everything and in every person. And if a person is feeling a lack, we need to know how to detect that and be sensitive to it in order to draw light to that lack. There is an expression in Kabbalistic literature that says if a person works hard and he finds something, he should believe it. Again, if a person works hard for something, and if that individual finds what he's working hard for, he should believe that thing. What does working hard mean, and what does finding mean from a Kabbalistic point of view? Working hard refers to the spiritual work that we do to raise our consciousness. Working hard refers to the things that we were talking about before, not being afraid to leave our comfortable zone, feeling excitement about things, even when everything else around us is telling us not to feel excited, to continue to feel energy, even if there's no immediate gratification being drawn from an activity. That's what working hard means from a spiritual point of view. What does finding mean? When I normally think of the word finding, that indicates that somebody found something, that it wasn't worked for, you didn't earn it, something's lying on the street or on the sidewalk, you walk along, maybe it's a $100 bill, You pick it up and you say, I found it. You don't say, I earned it. You say, I found it. And you put it in your pocket. So finding seems to indicate that no work was done to earn that item or to earn that energy. For us to understand what finding means from a spiritual point of view, we have to relate it to what a spiritual gift is all about. Because finding something is getting something unexpected, like a gift. When you get a gift, that's also something unexpected. Kabbalah explains that the finding itself is the blessing. We're talking about connecting to the light. That's what finding really means. We know that the light of the Creator is the only gift that we're really seeking. And even when a person feels the light of the Creator, and you worked for it, you worked hard for it, even when you experience that type of light and you feel it, when you leave the comfort zone and you experience these miracles, you should still feel like that light is like a gift. Meaning the blessing that we're getting from the Creator is way out of proportion to the effort that we put in. This is what the Kabbalah is trying to really teach us, that there's no comparison to the amount of energy that we put in and the light that we get back from the Creator. Who likes to think like that, though? You know, some people think, you know, I put in effort, I get back equal to what I put in. Or worse, I put in effort and I get nothing back, or I get very little back in return to the effort that I put in. So the Zohar, which is the main text of the Kabbalah, explains these are really three different levels of spiritual work. The highest level, which is the level that we should attain, is no matter what we do, no matter how hard we work, always feel like the results that we get are a gift from the light, meaning the effects are always in a much greater proportion to the energy that we put in. It goes to the point of even saying we should almost walk around feeling ashamed for everything that we have in life because we did nothing for it, no matter what you did for it. And this is the mark of a truly spiritual person. Now, we know there are people who work very hard, and when they get the return, they feel entitled to it. That's not considered finding. That's not a gift. That's expected. That's purchasing. You worked. You get paid. You did a job. The energy that you're getting is not a gift. If you think that way, that's the second level. Meaning, the first level, to repeat again, is no matter what you do, you feel you're getting back 10 times over. That's the state that we should always maintain. The next level is, I do work, I do some spiritual work, and I get back precisely to the measure that I put in. That's the state that a lot of people have when they begin their spiritual journey. What you put in is what you can take back. We've heard that expression in many spiritual systems. Kabbalah here is teaching that when you put in, you get back 10 times over all the time, whether you're aware of it or not. And the lowest state of consciousness to be in is, I put in work and I get nothing back. Or I put in an effort of 10 and I get back 2 or 3. That's the state of consciousness that most of us have, because we find ourselves in situations in life and we walk around saying, you know, where's the money? Show me the money. Show me the relationship. Show me the health. I want all these things. And you're teaching me that the Creator wants to give me everything. So where is it? I work hard. I'm a good person. I'm a nice guy. I pay my taxes, etc., etc. But that type of consciousness will actually only invite more chaos into your life. The kind of consciousness that we need to go up to is, think of it like a stick shift. We start off in the lowest gear, which is whatever I put in, I get back less. That's the gear that you start off in. Then you shift up to a higher gear. The work that I put in, I get back equal to it. Then you finally ramp up to the highest level, which is whatever I put in, I get back 100 times over. Again, if we don't feel that we're getting back from the cosmos, if we don't feel the excitement, if we don't feel the energy, it simply means we're not working hard enough. Because how could it be that there's not light out there waiting to be revealed? It just means we're not working hard enough. To say that I'm working hard enough and I'm not getting the light is basically to deny the spiritual system as we have explained it. It's to deny the existence of the Creator. It's to deny the reality that the light force of the Creator wants to come into every aspect of our lives. And a person is free to make that decision. You know, you can't force someone to think a certain way when it comes to spirituality. You know, our expression here is always no coercion in spirituality. If a person chooses to think that everything is a result of their efforts and their efforts alone, you know, we say to them, good luck. If a person chooses to feel that there is a system out there and I can take advantage of that system, then we encourage them to think this way, that make your maximum effort to raise your spiritual consciousness and know that you're constantly being paid 10 times over. Sometimes you look around in your life and you say, this doesn't look like I'm getting paid 10 times over. Then the answer, the real answer, which we don't want to face is, you're not really working hard enough. You're not really working hard enough. If you're not happy with the circumstances of your life, it only means we're not working hard enough. period. It takes a lot of energy to be able to do this type of work and to maintain this type of consciousness. The Kabbalah Center recommends that everybody does in order to maintain a state of consciousness that'll help them leave this physical world of not feeling true excitement and not being able to do true spiritual work. One of those things is reading the 7 lines of the Ana B'Koach every day. And the second thing is a daily scanning of the Zohar, the text of Kabbalah, which was intended for all of mankind. Even if you don't read Hebrew, even if you don't speak Hebrew, by merely scanning the letters, that energy is drawn into the soul and it supports us like spiritual food. That's what it was designed to do. I know that a lot of us will think of all the logical excuses why we shouldn't do it. I'm tired, I'm busy, I don't understand the language, this is ridiculous. Again, that's the logical robotic mind working again. At least today we have the ability to explain that things that we don't understand fully can still benefit us. I don't understand how my cellular phone works. I just have to know how to push the buttons. In the same way, when I scan the Ana B'Koach or when I scan the Zohar, it's like pushing metaphysical buttons and it automatically taps the light of creation that's waiting to manifest in my life. So we strongly encourage people to give these techniques a chance. These tools can help open up the various spiritual gates that exist. You know, there are different gates of energy that can give us the type of light that we need for various areas of life, whether it's in health or in relationships or in business. One of the most powerful gates of energy is called the gate of tears or the gate of crying. When we cry or when we feel bad or when we feel sensitive, we usually cry for ourselves. We're sensitive to ourselves. We're sensitive to our ego. We're sensitive to how things didn't work out according to our own personal agenda. Some of us might cry when we see an emotional moment in a movie. That shows that we have a high level of sensitivity. Doesn't mean that you're necessarily spiritual, and it doesn't mean that you're opening up the gate of tears, that cosmic opening that can bring us out of the world of physicality and into the dimension of miracles. Now, why are tears so important? What's special about tears? Tears represent water, and according to Kabbalah, water represents mercy and love. Just like water nourishes and rejuvenates life, that's what tears represent, the ability to rejuvenate and take us out of our normal mode of consciousness. Instead of just crying for ourselves, when we cry for our friends and when we cry for the pain of people outside of ourselves, then we are starting to emulate the light of the Creator and we automatically start connecting to the light of miracles. When we feel the pain of other people, those tears open up the gates of tremendous light and tremendous miracles in our lives. Now, sometimes we don't feel like bringing ourselves to that level of emotion and feeling for other people. But precisely when you don't feel like that, that's where the miracle is waiting to happen. That's what being proactive is all about. Not when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, when you override your robotic tendency to focus just on yourself. It's not about crying for another person just for the sake of crying for them. It's to stimulate an energy in us that'll have a desire to help them fill the lack that they're experiencing. Many of us think we're very good at giving advice to people that have pain, people that are going through difficult times. Before we give advice to anybody, we should always first make an effort to feel their pain, to listen, to really feel the depths of what they're going through. And when we can get down to that level, when we can communicate at that level where our consciousness is feeling the lack that they feel, that's when we can start being a conduit to start sending them some light. I'll give you an example. Sometimes when we go and visit the sick, visiting the sick from a Kabbalistic point of view is not just for the sake of being polite. It's not just for the sake of doing the right thing. It actually helps remove the disease from the person. There's an actual spiritual process taking place when you visit a sick person. If you go there with the right consciousness, if you go there willing to get down to their level and not, it's not like you're saying you want to take their sickness, God forbid, but you understand the pain that they're going through, and by communicating at their frequency, you can send light to them at their frequency as well. In the past, when people had problems, they would go to a righteous individual, to a Kabbalist, and they would ask this person to take their pain away. How would that work? The Kabbalist had such a tremendous capacity to feel the other person's pain that when the Kabbalist felt it, it would automatically be taken away because the Kabbalist didn't deserve the pain because he or she was spiritual and wasn't involved in that person's cause and effect process. But by feeling that person's pain, it drew it away from them. And because the Kabbalist didn't deserve the pain himself or herself, it would automatically be eliminated. The same process still takes place today when we visit sick people. Visiting sick people is not about being polite or just about cheering a person up on a psychological level. It's a spiritual process. It's similar to what we just explained when people in the past would see the Kabbalist and ask for their pain to be removed. When you visit a sick person and you feel their pain, it's like that pain is transferred to you on one level, but because you don't deserve it, because you're not going through that correction process, the pain will be taken away because that is not your own personal correction. Everything that we learn about from a Kabbalistic point of view is always serving a spiritual purpose. It's like spiritual technology. It's doing something in the metaphysical 99% realm, and it helps bring you into the world of miracles. We're not talking about dwelling on another person's pain. We're not talking about going down to that level of pain and staying there and getting infected by the pain itself. It's about stimulating the part of us that wants to assist and wants to help, but not as a victim, not for the sake of being manipulated by other people, because we know some people do experience pain and they want to manipulate you with their pain. We're not talking about that. We're talking about individuals that have a genuine desire to raise their consciousness, and your effort to feel where their lack is will help them remove their lack. To review what we were talking about, in order for us to connect to real excitement, it's understanding that the light of the Creator exists in everything that we do, in the mundane, boring, ordinary tasks. We also have to have the right consciousness to be able to work to receive this level, which is, no matter what we do, we're getting back 10 times over. And if we don't make an effort to communicate with other people and feel their lack and feel their pain, then we're not doing our spiritual work. In the next class, we will learn what does it mean to be a true spiritual channel, how to act as a conduit to bring the light of the Creator into your lives in a consistent way, and how to channel that energy into other people's lives as well.
For more information on the spiritual wisdom of Kabbalah or to order other audio tapes, call us toll-free at 1-800-KABBALAH or visit our website at www.kabbalah.com. This has been a Kabbalah Media Group production.